In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The feature that is most meaningful to me about Ash Wednesday is that it reminds us of our mortality and that life on this earth is finite and that there's a bigger life out there, eternal life, to keep in mind as I live here and now. You can't miss this message in the imposition of the ashes. Almighty God, you have created us out of the dust of the earth. Grant that these ashes may be a sign of our mortality. In a recent sermon for the funeral of Tracy Grouden, I said, "This life is only the threshold in the doorway to the large room, the bigger life that follows. And this life is only separated from the unseen world by a thin veil. We are only one breath away from the other side. We are only one blink of an eye away from the other world." Death is something that our culture doesn't like to think about very much. And I certainly didn't either. But when our daughter Renee died in 2015, death became close and personal. It also became less frightening and more hopeful. We found that this experience helped us to clutch this life less frantically, knowing that the best is yet to come. Thanks be to Jesus Christ, who said, "I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also." And we are grateful for a couple at that time who gave us a little book called On Life After Death by psychiatrist Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. It's a little book in which she has recorded some of her lectures summarizing her extensive research of 20,000 accounts of people's near-death experiences. Trish and I have since discovered another fine book called Imagine Heaven, which is written by John Burke, a Christian pastor. One of the common features of near-death experiences is of people recounting what they call their life review, something that happened to them when they were in the presence of a dazzling, bright being, but not shrill, a pleasant but bright light. The author writes, "Most experience the life review in God's presence as He gently guides them to see what matters. The majority of life reviews start with a question from this being of light, who is Jesus. And they may phrase it in different ways, but they all hear basically the same thing. What have you done with the life that I have given you?" It's not said in judgment, but in love, to prompt reflection and learning. Different people have described it differently. As one said, it was a movie of myself, of my entire life. Another said, it's like a PowerPoint presentation. All of them were shocked to experience not only a living three-dimensional observation of their whole lives, but even their secret thoughts and motives. Such an experience aligns with what Scripture predicts will happen. Jesus said, "There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known." Paul writes to the Corinthians, "Judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts." Can you imagine how you might feel if your life were in review to that degree of exposure? I want to read one account of such a life in review. And this is the story of George Ritchie, who was a soldier in 1943. He was in boot camp, and he was about halfway through his training when he contracted double pneumonia. And the author then of Imagine Heaven begins by saying, "George Ritchie stood in Jesus' presence as every scene from his life was relived before him, including his secret thoughts and motives. And Ritchie now said himself, what emanated from this presence was unconditional love, an astonishing love, a love beyond my wildest imagining. This love knew every unlovable thing about me, the quarrels with my stepmother, my explosive temper, the sex thoughts I could never control, every mean, selfish thought and action since the day I was born, and accepted and loved me just the same. I saw myself turning away from my stepmother, bent over to kiss me goodnight, saw the very thought itself. I am not going to love this woman. My mother died, and if I love this lady, she'll leave me too. And I watched myself at age 10, standing in that same dining room window where my father went to the hospital, and saw my father go to the hospital to bring home mother and our new baby brother, Henry, and saw myself deciding before I ever saw him that I was not going to like this newcomer. Every detail of 20 years of living was there to be looked at, the good, the bad, the high points, the run-of-the-mill, and this, with this all-inclusive view came a question. It was implicit in every scene, and like the scenes themselves, seemed to proceed from the living light beside me. What did you do with your life? Jesus promised that it's not the things that people see that matter most, but the unseen things done to please God that will ultimately be rewarded. God looks at the heart and motives most. And not everyone can succeed by the world's standards, but every single person can succeed in what God has put them here on earth to do. The author of Imagine Heaven finishes by saying, don't wait for your life review to live for what matters. Prepare for your life review now. And so the question is how? How do we begin to prepare for that life review so as not to be overwhelmed with regret? And I think it starts today, right in this service. I hadn't noticed it until I went through the first service at 8 o'clock and saw the impact that it had on me. Because it was like an industrial strength, spiritual car wash, if you will. I mean, we repent of our sins on Sunday, but this is industrial strength confession that goes on tonight. And what happens is that if you do participate, if you don't just go through the motions, you feel yourself being, all these weights being lifted off of you, and all of those kinds of things that could have been part of your life review are deleted through confession, through an honest appraisal, assessment of ourselves before God. Those things are lifted off of us. So the very worship service that we're attending is an exercise in being washed through and through and cleansing and having a fresh start. And then the next thing that I would say to begin to prepare for that life review, it's not really anything new. Seek God and develop the practice of taking stock of your life. And on the back page of your bulletin, I've included what I call the 40-day experiment. And it's based upon two things. One, I received a Lenten devotional from Trinity Seminary, and in it there was the daily examine, which is in the style of St. Ignatius of Loyola, the priest who founded the Jesuits. And he had a way in which you went about trying to determine where you were nearest to God in the day and where you were not. And so I borrowed much from him, and then I borrowed from Chuck and Ann Murphy, who were the parents of Chuck Murphy in Pawleys Island, the Reverend Chuck Murphy. And they called their program that we did at St. Andrew's, the 28-day experiment. But when I started counting from tomorrow to the day before Easter, I counted 40 days. So I called it the 40-day experiment. And you can see there at the bottom that there's a bunch of psalms. Those are psalms that I picked out for each day of the week, except for Sundays. Let me just read through, beginning at paragraph 2. A great way to take stock of our lives, turning from troubles, stresses, and sin to the goodness and presence and leading of God, is to set aside a few moments of reflection each day in a quiet place. This is often best, whenever possible, at a consistent time of day, such as first thing in the morning, or at the end of the day, or even over lunch. And you begin by remembering, Jesus said, "I am with you always." And you invite the Holy Spirit of God to be with you and guide your reflections. And then you read the appointed psalm for the day. And then you go on and give thanks to the Lord for the good things that you have in your life, all that has happened, all that you have, family, friends, community, His presence. Because gratitude is foundational to a healthy relationship with God. And then look back over the past day, paying attention to emotions, thoughts, joy, for example, and sorrow, and activities, which give clues to the day's highs and low points. There was a minister in New England by the name of Frederick Buechner who wrote this about the examination of your life. He said, "Listen to your life. See it for the fathomless mystery that it is, in the boredom and pain of it, no less than in the excitement and gladness. Touch, taste, smell your way to the holy and hidden heart of it, because in the last analysis, all moments are key moments, and all life itself is grace. Listen to your life, because God speaks to us from the everyday events of our lives. God is with you. God is for you. Walk the day through with Him." And yesterday I did a funeral over at Sturr's, and it was for a young man, 33 years old, who took his own life. And I remember feeling, when I was in that setting, with about 300 people present, most of them I did not know, that I just wanted to get through that event. I just wanted to get through it. You know that feeling when you just want to get through it. And I sort of, on the way, stopped and said, wait a minute. This is an incredibly awesome thing that's going on here. And I just began to live in the moment and appreciate that God was with me. But God is with us in all kinds of situations. He's with you at the grocery store. I love to go to the grocery store with the Lord. And I remember a woman one time saying, "You know, I just love fabric stores. I just love the color of the fabrics and the texture of the fabrics. And I just feel God's pleasure when I'm in those fabric stores." That's what I'm talking about. Take stock of your life. Be aware that God is with you. Look back over the day past. But then go on with God's grace and resolve and pray to let God forgive, heal, transform you, invite Him into all areas of your life, giving thanks, ask for His forgiveness, His healing, His help in changing, seek amendment of life where necessary. You may even want to journal some thoughts or prayers. I think it's a great idea to have a notebook handy. And then finally, prayerfully bring to God the events of the day to come, asking for the grace to walk in faithfulness in His leading and in His presence. So I invite you to join me in the 40-day experiment. I know that there are other Lenten programs and other books around, but if you don't have one, this is what I'm going to do. So I invite you to join me. What have you done with your life? Don't wait for your life review to live for what matters. Prepare for your life review now. And I'm going to end with a quote by somebody. And you have one guess to know who this somebody is. Come on. C.S. Lewis. Yes. Yes. Here he is again. C.S. Lewis says, "If you read history, you will find that the Christians who did most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next. The apostles themselves who set on foot the conversion of the Roman Empire, the great men who built up the Middle Ages, the English evangelicals who abolished the slave trade, all left their mark on earth precisely because their minds were occupied with heaven. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this. Aim at heaven, and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth, and you will get neither. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Don't wait for your life review to live for what matters. I invite you to join me in the 40-day experiment. Let's pay closer attention to our lives over these 40 days. Let's sit in God's Word and in God's presence together and see what comes."